Remember that. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday and be down at Brother Tony's. And just keep that in mind. Now, the other announcements have been made of all the other things to take place, you know, the Christmas and the things that are to be brought forth. Okay? Amen. Romans 8. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Because we know one thing for sure. You made your promise. You said it, and we believe it. You said anywhere two or three would gather in your name, that you'd be in the midst. We just ask you to help us then, to touch us and guide us. Lord, forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in you. We ask you to just bless each one, and Lord, just reach down and touch us as we talk about your word, Lord, and as we try to answer questions of any thoughts. Lord, may our thoughts be on one thing, and that would be what you would have to be said in your ways and your love. We love you and we thank you. And Lord, just reach down among us and heal the sick. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we believe that you sent your word. And Lord, then we expect to see the manifestation of that coming forth because we believe it. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. And you may be seated. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we'll try to just basically run across what we've been talking about, more dealing with the last few messages, and then we'll have questions and answers. So if you got anything you want to, you know, any thoughts, write it down, and we will try our best to cover whatever that we can, because we, you know, we want to have a clear understanding. Amen. Right. I'm getting a signal of 6 and 1. Okay, 6 and 1. Hey, I got it.
You got it.
All righty. Nanny said, I'll give you a signal of 6 and 1. Some people, a lady sent a request. And we're going to put more than 6. But she wanted some prayer cloths, you know, to be sent to her. So we're going to put them right here. And at the end now, remember, we'll have the brothers come up. We'll all pray together over them and, you know, and be able to send the people the prayer cloths, because that's their desire and that's our desire. I believe in that, don't you? I believe God deals in those ways. I wish we still had some more of the ones that we had, that Brother Perry Green, you know, had that time, a whole bunch that Brother Branham had prayed over, and I'd like to have some more of that, but we gave all of them away. But, you know, I still believe that, you know,
Amen.
The Bride of Christ can call out for God and believe, and he'll answer prayers. And I believe for the young kids to pray, as well as us older kids to pray and be able to you know, to do that. All right. Now, we've been talking about adoption in three stages. We're talking about the spirit of adoption. Then we're talking about the authority, which comes down into the verses there where it's talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. And then we come down to the change of the body. All right, now there's one thing that I want you to think about and remember, because if we'll take the word, it'll be answer, will be in the word. I got a little note from someone just recently or tonight, matter, and the brother has written us before and says he connects in and in the service and all sometimes. Well, that's good. And I had made a statement and made some there when I was talking a little bit. I'm just giving this to show you how that it's got to be in the opening of the word, all right? And the brother, you know, he had kind of, where I said that the biggest portion of the world, you know, thinks that there's going to get a new body, and about half of the people of the message or so forth are thinking about getting a new body. Well, he had a quote, see, and he ran right to it immediately, because he thought, well, you know, I guess, well, I'll send Brother Dale this quote. Well, I went on in the service where he was doing it, and I remarked like this. I said, you remember that Jesus raised with nail prints in his hand. So if he didn't get a new body, why would we think about one? So he goes right into the message to get the quote. And as he's going through the quote, it looks like, and Brother Brown said it, he'll say, we're going to get a new body. He says that away, because I believe that. It's this body made new. All right. That's fine. Made eternal. And not getting a different one. But he was going to try to, when he ran in, he said he just kept listening a little bit to what, or reading what Brother Brown said, and said there, Brother Brown came across the point. You know, Jesus was raising, and he remembered what I'd said, or the point. Well, see, it's in the word. All right. Now, my point of saying that is this. We talk about the new birth. There's never been a new birth without the word being open, because that is the new birth. I don't believe it's anything else. You make it anything else. Now, this word, people don't understand me, and I don't have enough time to put it all in to where they can understand. But see, we say, what is the new birth? I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. That's not what the new birth is. No. The new birth is the birth of the word. Right? Now, those other things are attributes. Right? It's not that you got the new birth because you've done this, that, or the other. All right? Why have we been so much onto that? Because that is, to me, the opening of the word. All right? So then when you talk about the spirit of adoption, we've been talking about the opening of God's word to where we could understand it. See, the new birth is the opening of the word then. All right? And that would be the cornerstone is the opening of the word. Right? See, the cornerstone and the foundation, laid in the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, being the chief cornerstone. That's what we're supposed to be built on, which is the revealed word. So no matter what you're looking at the revealed word. All right? See, then if we're not looking to something to where they would say the new birth is signs and wonders. I don't misunderstand me, because may I quote Brother Branham, a dead baby, see, you don't work on that, you know. We don't want no stillborns. Right. There's always some form of emotion goes with a baby being born. Right? You know, I mean, you ladies know that, right? There's something went with that. You remember that real well, all right? But see, that was not the birth. That was the cause of the problem. The baby was the birth, all right? See, and that's all I've tried to get you to see then, that what is it? It has to be the opening of the word. What would be then the authority? The authority are manifested sons and daughters of God that we talked about. It would be because of the opening of the word. Is that what we tried to express? That how is the stature of a perfect man going to come into being? I mean, we just jump up and get it? Well, we're born right up here. That's what people will say, you know. We're born right up here. In this seventh church age, well, great. That puts you in Lady of Seal. See, that'd be the hard part. But see, by the opening of the word, we can climb the stature of a perfect man.
Right,
which is coming up to adoption, which is coming up to the authority, right? And it's done by the opening of the word. Well, then what would it be to come forth to the change of the body? The opening of the word, right? That's why I've, you know, I'm blunt about what I say about it. But see, we say, well, this is a new birth and this is this, but this over here is something else. What? Just keep going with what you got.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
See? If the first pull was the opening of the word. Now, let me reverse it. The prophet said, third pull is the opening of the word. Right? Is that what he said? Preaching those seven seals. All right, then the first pull would have to be the opening of the word. The second pull is the opening of the word. What told him? Like I've always said, you know, I know gifts and I understand gifts. But I've always asked you one simple question about Brother Branham and gifts. And you'll see why he said, one day I'll show you it wasn't right to use that like that. It caused carnal impersonators. Right? Have you ever thought about, he would take you by the hand. Right? Now some of you were there and saw it. And his hand would change color or do something or pimples come up. Right? And he'd say, you've got cancer on your left lung. Now, hey, I'm sensible. The hand was showing the cancer because that was between him and God, the contact that he made. But who told him where it was at and what was going on? You don't think like that? What told him where it was at and what was going on? The gift would show the cancer was present. See, that's all I've ever said is the opening of the word. That's why it went from first pull to second pull to third pull.
Amen.
And it's all in the opening of the word. That's all I've ever tried to explain because that's what I believe. Because then we got to the last talking about the change of the body. Well, would not the change of the body have to be something or a message to be brought in the last days? We gave you the quote where Brother Branham said the head and body would unite in the last days to bring the message. Well, that's why I've always told you. I've always taught it and I always believed it. What? This message that you and I have received is the opening of the word. And that is the point of it being opening of the word. Then in Brother Branham's message, we'll lay all things. Is that the way he'd say it? There's a quote kind of offline, but it's close. What? That rapture and faith lays where? In the message. Where else does it lay? I mean, tell me something else that lays in. It's got to lay in the message. Because the message is the opening of God's word. Well, I'd see the change of the body just be the opening of God's word. I don't understand how come we got to make it so hard. It took 4,000 years for a resurrection to take place. Right? And when that resurrection took place of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he appeared, what did he say? Or what did the angels tell him? He is risen. You know, we've been preaching 2,000 years on that statement. He is risen. Huh? Well, I've asked you one thing to do. We say, and Brother Branham will give you the quotes, whatever, where he says, what is the seventh seal? He says, the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. I've asked you. See, that's why it tires into my heart. I ask people to do things. Just simple little things. And never do you come back and say, I went and looked that up. Have you ever looked up the word come? C-O-M-E. No, I know what it is. See, that's what I'm saying. You. That's what tires your heart out. If you go look up what I ask you, you might find out a lot. The word come has nothing to do. When I say, Brother Colley, would you come to see me? Or I'm inviting him to come to my house, but I have nothing to do with his travel from there to my home. That's totally to him. Why don't you go look it up and see if the word come doesn't mean to be here. Now may I quote Brother Brown? He said, I'm not saying he's coming. What did he say? I'm saying he's here. Now it may have been to him only, but that don't make a bit of difference. It was right. If it never will be to nobody else, it was still right. I just try to be that simple. And get you to look up things and listen ahead of time. If you will, I'm dealing right now in my mind as to if you'll read the message or listen to the tape called Masterpiece. Right? And if you'll listen to it in two stages, you'll find something in a hurry from it. Listen to Masterpiece and then listen to Seed Shall Not Be Air with the Shuck. They're almost 1 year apart, somewhere close. And listen to Masterpiece and see where he's at. And then watch the unveiling of the word when he gets to the seed, not air with the shuck. We'll get down to those things, okay. Get it back to the message. But listen. The only way you can get into the body of Christ is by the new birth.
Amen.
All right. And the new birth, then, is the opening of the word.
Amen.
All right? Then the growth development, our child training, comes to prove that what you got was right. No? What you got was right. And it brings the nature and character of Almighty God into you and I. And it's done by the opening of the word of God. Which then would have to be this message. Because the apostles were built on the foundation of apostle prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Those apostles had that new birth right. You agree? They had it right. And you know where they were at? Like you always said, Brother Brown said they have these virtues. So it's Holy Spirit down. But they just didn't have the headstone. Well then what would the headstone be? The cornerstone would grow up into the head. Simple terminology, simple thoughts as to what we're trying to see. Listen, we put, though, the new birth as just being, you say, well, what is the new birth? I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. Right? I mean, with this message that has explained so much to us about these things, that those things are only attributes or displays, why is not the people getting the message? This opening of the word. A natural baby, how did it come to pass? How did a natural baby come to pass? A word, a seed, had to be planted. Right? And then it produced a child. So that's Jesus with Nicodemus then. So you remember that's about 14 messages back. The new birth is the opening of God's word to you and I. And it starts a growth development inside of us as it does with the natural baby. That cell starts multiplying and it produces a body. And when the body comes forth, then God just simply comes down and puts life into the body. Well, how more simple is the new birth?
Amen.
Brother Random, you ever heard this one? I know you have. He said the natural birth is a whole lot more mysterious than the virgin birth. Right? See, the virgin birth is easy to understand. God created egg and sperm. But in the natural birth, you got millions and you got all kind of things that works around that, and everything got to be just right for it to come out and bring forth one child. But see, that new birth is the opening of the word. The only way you can get it is that word being open. And that's the whole thing of the Lord Jesus in all of the parables, in all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Son of Man, sower of the seed. The seed is the children of the kingdom. The bad seed are the children of the devil, you know, in his ways. And knowing what we are and how we come forth, with a baby that's brought from the womb of a mother, is like the baby that's produced in the new birth. You become a child in God. It's the baby. And a sincere desire to follow the word. An earnest. Earnest is what? Part payment. See? So then everybody gets the same earnest money. Until it can grow into it. And how do we grow? We can only grow by the word that's revealed to us. There's no growth development in the basis of you being tormented and done this, that, and the other. That's part of it, but it's not the growth development. Those in the dark ages went through horrible things. It didn't bring them to the stature of perfect man. Why didn't God come? I went up to that in the message. Why didn't God come on the scene to those that were so sincere back there until they gave their lives for the gospel? Because the word hadn't come. That's simple to me. This message had not come. They could only go to the message that they had. And that's why the disciples could only go to what the Lord Jesus revealed to them or made known to them there in the upper room, you know, and the things they had heard. But the headstone could not come because they didn't know anything about it. See? It was withholding from them. And why can't we see it? Then withholding them, but yet would have to come in the last days. To take you and I to a change of the body. Because remember, we're going ahead of the world, right? Are you with me? Go to Future Home and listen. The world's done been through justification in the days of Noah, sanctification in the days of Wesley. I mean, Jesus. All right. And then it's going to get a fiery baptism, right? Well, see, then what's so hard to understand? But see, we have done been through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which gives us a new birth. Now, and as it does that, what does it do? Jesus cleansed and claimed this earth. And our bodies were a part of it. So then, why do you want to try to get a new one for? Or a different one? When he's done cleansed and claimed it. Now watch what he done. You remember how I was trying to express it? See, he cleansed and claimed it by, you know, shedding his blood and the things like that, right? But what about when you receive the new birth? See, I thought we believed that the Bible that spoke of Jesus spoke of the bride. You know what spoke of the groom spoke of the bridegroom. You know what speaks of one speaks of the other. That's what I thought. Then if it does, then Jesus paid the price by shedding his blood. And see, it was said of him, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Well, why can't you believe that today you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that God said, this is my son or this is my daughter whom I'm pleased to dwell. And when he did, he claimed the body you're living in. What do you want to try to find another one? See, it just goes too far and goes beyond. See, the proof of the new birth is what? I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues, and I just kept doing it over and over and over. What's the proof of the new birth? What is the only evidence of the new birth? Now, Brother Brown never done away with love and all kind of things. But what did he do? He said, the Lord straightened him out. What did the Lord tell him? What was the evidence? Whether the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. So there it is, tied right back to the Word again. Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. See? Then if you get the new birth, what are you going to do? You're going to come to this message as quick as you can. Right? Why? Because you're going to come to the Word. Right? See, that's the evidence, is whether or not you'll come to the Word. All right? Then would not it be that the rest would be just as involved, or the proof of the authority of a manifested son and daughter of God would not be signs and wonders? That's involved in it, yes, because a baby cries. It's going to cry, right? It's going to shout and speak in tongues, right? But that's not the evidence. The evidence is whether or not that Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Huh? So what would be the evidence of authority? Not signs and wonders. See, that's what we're looking for, and that's what I've hit so much. And I know it rings back, okay? The proof of authority is not signs and wonders. Because your anointed ones has got it on you then. But just remember now one thing to make sure you don't misunderstand me. You know, anointed ones can't work if they're not a genuine new birth or a genuine anointing on a genuine person. Anointed ones works because that has happened. That God has anointed someone with the genuine Holy Spirit and they are genuine all the way through by the new birth coming all the way out. Then anointed ones come because of that. You remember as I was trying to express in it about the Lord Jesus, that when the Lord Jesus said, if you believe it, that means it can work right over there. In them people in that church. If they believe it. Because he set in motion something that would be, that he would have to follow his own word. Right. See, then the anointing would not be, all right, watch what we do. We put signs ahead of the word. Signs are supposed to follow the word. Believers are supposed to follow the word. Signs are supposed to follow believers. Not believers following after signs. But you see, I say things like that instead of people taking it to heart and thinking about what you're saying. As the brother said you'd said it, but said, then it just opened when I seen. Why don't people take it that way? See, we put signs. In other words, somebody says something about somebody. We don't come out right in the open now because we're a little bit more shyer and smarter than, you know, we think we are anyway. But we want to know what kind of signs they've got. May I remind you of a story that happened? And some of you remember the story. That upon the death of Brother Branham, some of the brothers got together and went to a man that had signs and wonders. Why? If I was going to anybody, I'd try to find somebody that was staying with the Word. Because the Word's the only sign. Signs and wonders, sure. Come on, believers. Signs follow believers. There's always going to be signs and wonders amongst the believers of God. But we just look over them. That was my whole thing of driving hard to you. We look over things instead of looking at what God is doing. We're looking back there. We're looking over here. Instead of following what he's doing. But I thought the whole thing was to go to the opening of the Word. We're in the days of anointed ones. When it's the genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit on the spirit of individuals. And signs and wonders are taking place. Why don't we go after them? You remember the scripture? See, everybody wants to quote the one scripture. If a prophet tells you the sign and it, you know, and all, he said, you got to believe him. That's one scripture. But there's another one there that we don't listen to. Where if he gives you a sign and it comes to pass. But he takes you to, may I quote it this way? He takes you to another God. What would it be taking you to another God? Be taking you to another word. A different word than what the truth is, because the word is God. Look at the people of this message and how they run so hog wild after anybody that's got any kind of little signs and wonders. But yet somebody just hammer that word and you sit there and hammer it. And hammer it. They get dry up and leave. They'll find any excuse. You see, church, that's why I said what I did Sunday. And why it so bothered me is because the more I hammer the word, the more you lay out. You used to, you wouldn't have done it for nothing. You would have never missed a service, didn't matter how sick you was or what was going on. But now you plan things to deliberately miss the services. That's what's bothering me. But what is it? Instead of talking about the nature of God and the character of God as adoption, we put the emphasis upon the signs and the wonders. We quit talking about the nature of God. We start talking about the signs and wonders. Where has signs ever supposed to be put before the word? Church, you don't listen to what I tell you. You don't think about the way Brother Branham said it. He said them people right after Azusa Street was closer to the coming of the Lord than we are. Now, what did he mean? Well, I don't know what he meant. You know he meant something. Right? He had something in mind. But why would he turn around to those Pentecostal people that had signs and wonders, dead raised, sick healed, all kind of signs and wonders? Brother Moat told about, was it A.A. Allen? I'm not certain which one was it. Was it A.A. Allen? Brother Moat, I know he told about the one minister that he sat there and looked. And that man's leg growed 6 inches while he was looking. Oh, you can fake all them things. See, there's where you go to the other side of it. What does it matter if everything else is a fake, but there's one genuine real one? Well, see, we want to take everything signs and wonders. Well, you better get straightened up on your signs and wonders maybe sometime. I know I'm hateful and arrogant, but what about F.F. Bosworth? I'm pretty sure this is right. He prayed for a man's nose that was missing and immediately put back. Brother Branham said he prayed and it was days before he has come back. Why would Brother Branham so adamantly say that's where Pentecost failed? Failed on what? They had the signs and the wonders. They had the dead raised, the sick healed, all kind of miracles. He had to be talking about something else, didn't he? They failed on the word that was being brought. They would not listen to the words as it was back there with the Lord Jesus. They wasn't listening to the words. They wanted to be fed. They wanted the sick healed and the food they were eating. But not listening to the word that was being brought. But we talk about signs and wonders, but we don't talk about the nature and character of God. I thought then Brother Branham said, what was it? Let's read a few of these things anyway. I want to give you one of them. Go ahead and pull up 1A and we'll read that one. Because I made a statement the other day and we had to hunt for pretty heavily to find it. But look, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ, in other words, the church age book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, page 14. Now that's the page number of the old church age book. The old church age book, first one, is not put out in paragraphs. Right? It was put out in page numbers. The original church age book, page 14, look what he said. Now I said that this book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus and what he is doing in the churches for these seven ages. Now the reason I want to read this is what? Jesus never told them disciples about the six seals. They never got it. What if he never got all of it? Oh, Brother Dale. Well, let's read. Jesus is what he's doing in the churches for those seven ages. It's a revelation because the disciples themselves didn't know these recorded truths. What recorded truths they didn't know? They never knew about the book of Revelations because they wasn't over there, but they never knew the complete revelation of what Jesus was bringing. Come on, read. You remember that they came to Jesus in the book of Acts. And ask him. Now, after all they had been given, if they'd been given those six seals in Matthew 24, why would they ask about his coming? Right? Look, you remember that they came to Jesus in the book of Acts and asked him, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Those men were still thinking of Jesus having an earthly kingdom. But it was a spiritual kingdom that he was going to build. Alright. Even he could not tell them about his place in it. For the Father had not revealed it unto him. So there was parts left that even Jesus didn't comprehend until he come. Now watch. But now, after his death and resurrection, and at this particular time in his meritorial ministry, he's able to set forth here in this revelation of himself to John what his glory and presence in the church would mean and do. Even he didn't follow it. Because what? Because it wasn't made known. Who's the revealer? Yeah, but Brother Dale, now wait just a minute, now, Brother Dale, because you said that he became, on Matthew 17, that the Father never spoke no more. That's right. The Father never spoke no more until Revelations. Go back and read your Bible. Revelations 1. The revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. So there might just be a little something that is going to be made known to this little bride. after the authorities and things comes into view. We still are dealing with a change of a body. After the change of the body, Jesus never spoke to the disciples much after that change of the body, did he? There were certain ways he come to John on Patmos and laid it all out. The rest of them didn't get it. You see, you say, well, I don't know about it. Because listen, because all we're wanting, see, do you understand what that's saying? That it would be possible? That there would be something? That even after Jesus went through, all I was explaining to you, after he went through all of those things, like Moses as he met the angels and come out with the Ten Commandments and went on, that Jesus met the angels and come out in preaching the seals in Matthew 24 after Matthew 17. Yep. And that he even preached marriage and divorce and preached all them things after Matthew 17. Yep. Sure. And isn't it odd that Brother Branham, in all of where he was and what he was doing, and he thought he had preached the seals. Right? Right? Come on, get in the message at least you can understand. He thought he had preached it. Yeah. And those seals was a mystery. Right. Amen. Sealed in a book. Yeah. That he thought he had already preached it. Yeah. And in his preaching of what he thought, he preached the white horse rider wrong. But when God came to him, and then isn't it kind of odd that after God came to the prophet and the seals opened, then he could preach marriage and divorce. Yep, right. And then he would preach serpent seed. And Brother Brown said it was revealed in the seals. Preached in 1958. I believe that's right, isn't it? 1958. You see, church, all I'm simply saying to you and I is one thing. This message has got what we have need of. But if we don't believe it, if we don't take what it says. See, we're just like everybody else. We're looking for some kind of doings. And we'll run after some kind of sign and wonder. What are you going to do? I'm here, at least as long as I'm staying here. I'm here. What if a man walks in here tonight and rolls a dead body in? And it's proven by the doctors he's been dead for weeks and laying in a casket. And he says, I'm going to tell you, God's going to raise that man from the dead in just a minute. Because I'm going to tell you that y'all are following a false prophet named William Branham. What if he raises the dead? What are you going to do? Read your Bible. It says, give you a sign. And it come to pass. But take you to another God. You tell him, pack up his dead and let the dead bury the dead. But Brother Dale, aren't you scared? Scared of what? Because there's one thing about this message. I fought for it for all these 50 years. Don't tell me I'm going to turn around now and give it up for some garbage can. No, this is my life. And if it takes it, this is my death. Whatever it takes, I want to stay with the Word of God because I can't find nothing else. There's nowhere else to go. Like I said, I wouldn't dare call the names and things. But what about those brothers after Brother Branham died? Those brothers running out to this certain brother to listen to him. But listen. You remember this one? Go ahead with number one now, which is Smyrna Church Age, or Church Age Book, paragraph 117. Is that character simply is never made without suffering. A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic. Sure. But power with character is fit to rule. See, we quote that about the man, and we've got enough to believe it to where that we say, yes, if he takes you to another God, don't believe him. But you know what the rest of that scripture says? I can paraphrase it, but it'll get very close. Check it out. And see if it doesn't say, God has sent these things among you to prove you. You mean God would let the dead be raised, the sick healed, signs and wonders take place to try you? Look where Brother Branham stood, facing them Pentecostal people, and him screaming out about signs and wonders and saying that God was there in it, and then turn around telling them, you have failed because you didn't go to the Word. Right? What about it? But you see, I'm a firm believer in signs and wonders. I'm a firm believer in signs and wonders. But it's because of the Word. Signs and wonders don't come first. What if you were studying? What if some of you ministering were studying for a message? And here would come a spirit to you and begin to open the Word to you. And you begin to follow it. And you come and preach and you say, the Lord has directed me. The Lord met me and these signs and wonders has taken place because this can happen and that can happen and this, you know. What if it takes place? And Brother Dale walks out and says, you're false. What's the people going to do? You say those things can't happen. It can happen easily. But see, listen. Number two, the lady see in church age. Already the visible manifestations of what I've been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tires is factual. But also it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. By his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. Watch. And with the restoration of the Word will come the restoration of power. We're not going out of here because one day we're going to meet in the church. Well, you ain't got nothing, ain't got nothing. We just all happy, whoopee. We're doing good, but we believe the Word. I ain't never taught nothing like that, but I have taught it this way. May I quote Brother Branham? He said, there'll come a day when the Methodists and the Baptists and things will be healing the sick and casting out devils. Maybe he used the word raise the dead. I know he said casting out devils, healing the sick. He said it's going to happen. See, because when the rain falls, remember the rain falls, it goes on to everything. Right? I have never been to the point of dry to hide as of what? I believe from the beginning. Number five. Three kind of believers. The reason I do, I believe that when the bride is called and elected and set in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that'll take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. Go ahead to number six. Hear ye him. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart. but believe that what you said shall come to pass. You can have what you have said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Then critics' mouths will be shut. It'll be a short time. You remember how much I emphasized that? Why? Jesus come right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. It won't last long, but it'll be here. What about it? Any questions? What about it? Any comments by you? What about it? You see, I'm looking for the greatest move that could ever come in the world. But it'll be so small. Now, let's get into the real thing. We're not looking for another worldwide revival. The last revival, the prophet said the greatest of all, was Azusa Street Pentecost. Now, that's his words. We're not looking for another great revival. He said people are looking at that or wrong. He said because that'll be to Israel. Right? Then we got all of these quoters that can quote, revival's over, revival's over, revival's over. But what about the way Brother Branham said it? He said the bride ain't had a revival yet. He said it'll take them seven unknown thunders to wake her up. Amen. That's why, church, you don't follow me and listen. You just get upset for my statements. I've always thought that I believe the scripture says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed. I thought we believed that back there because of the word. But I thought that was so true until the prophet even expressed it by saying, he said there'll probably be somewhere around 30 days, you know, between the resurrection and the rapture. Maybe he said 30, 40 days. Maybe the statement's that way. Right. You see, that's why I ain't never had no problems with any tent doctrines, return ministries, or anything. I believe Brother Branham's going to raise.
Amen.
That's right. And I'd even say I believe he'd be the first in the resurrection. Amen. It'd take me the rest of the night to preach the reason I believe that. But I can preach it and believe it because it's true. Got to remember, the highest one has got to be the first one. Are you with me? It's not the bottom that comes first. It turns around. First, last, and last first.
See?
I go along with the point because I believe it. That the prophet will raise from the dead one day. But I believe also my daddy will raise. And walk in the love of God.
Right.
For 30, 40 days, you can have some of the greatest revivals and the things could happen around the world.
Amen.
Some of the things I don't go along with. I can't follow it. I'm just honest. I'll just tell you, I tell everybody the truth about it. I can't see that Brother Brown is going to take a 30-06 and go kill a brown bear after he's in a glorified body. Now, if you believe that, that's your business. But I'm just telling you where I stand. 30 or 40 days, we can have the greatest thing could ever be. You think the dead's going to be raised, and we're going to meet up here. Hey, have you heard the dead is raised? Well, glory. I'll wake me up when the service is over where I can, you know. Oh, we're going to be, you know, we're just going to be so, well, you know, well, tell me when it gets here. I won't be ready, but you tell me when it gets here now. I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I think that you'll not be able to get people to sit down long enough to be able to even say anything. They're going to be shouting and rejoicing. Shouting on the hills of glory. Won't that be something? 30, 40 days before we get a change. I don't compromise. You say, oh, you just compromise on this about the 10. I ain't never compromised with nobody. I've always told you where I stand. Right exactly to where I stand, to where I stood to start with. When I told the people, you don't know what he taught, and that's the reason it wouldn't do him any good to raise now. I've got a quote in here from Brother Branham where he says what? He said the word waiting was not on the part of Moses. The waiting was on the part of the people. All right. If we're looking for a resurrection, why are we not trying to get ready? Yes, but you just don't put the importance upon this, upon that. Will you tell me where to put it? I know where to put it on one thing. He said the third pool is the opening of the word. He said it was the opening of them seven seals. Well, do we believe Brother Branham has preached them? Now we're back to where the people of the message are at, right? Half the people believes the seals are broke. The other half don't believe they're broke. I'm not quoting this garbage. I'm telling you the truth. They're arguing whether they're broke or not broke. If you don't believe it, go home. Run a little question into that talk box on the internet, and you're going to get a lot of them back. They'll let you know in a hurry what they believe. But you see, I believe one thing. No matter what comes or goes, the word has got to be first. Now, don't you think, I'm just serious first, and get ready for your questions. Don't you think if Brother Branham's going, I'm talking to you tent believers, to what you believe, return ministry people. If you believe Brother Branham's going to come back and put up a tent, don't you think the devil's going to beat him to it and put up a tent? Come on. Quit being carnal. They're going to be tents everywhere. And what are you going to do? If it's right anointed ones, which one are you going to believe? I'll know. How will you know? This guy's got signs and wonders. This guy's got signs and wonders. How are you going to know? I said that from the start. If you don't like that, that's your business. You tell me Brother Brown is going to put up a tent and start across the country preaching to people. The devil is going to be on that road. And he's going to have tents running everywhere. Well, you just don't believe it. Don't believe what? I was told that one time, so anybody with questions, so come on, who's got the... Okay, Richard's got the thing. Get ready. This brother, he called me up one day, and he said, Brother Dale, said, what do you... This is 73. He said, Brother Dale, he said, what do you think about this resurrection coming on Good Friday? I said, praise the Lord. I hope it does. He said, you don't sound like you believe it's going to be. I said, no, I'm just saying praise the Lord. I hope it is. He said, well, said they do have it figured out up here that it can be 40 days later. I said, now sound like you don't believe it. That's the words I said to him. Because he's getting 40 days. He didn't believe this. He got 40 more days. I just try to be honest. What do you think? What do you think about adoption? What do you think of the things that we preach? Who'll be first? Ryan. Okay.
I've got one from, excuse me, Zechariah 4. You was reading from it, I think, last Wednesday. Zechariah 4, verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace, grace unto it. Several years ago, I think you talked about why grace is mentioned twice there. Can you talk about that again for just a moment?
Well, any time that the Bible, in anywhere, if he ever says the word twice, the emphasis is basing upon, now this is coming through from reading from, you know, you can find it like Schofield's and things. The emphasis is he wants to make sure you get it right. When he says, verily, verily, why would he say it twice? He wants to make sure you get it right. The headstone is going to come crying, grace, grace, amazing grace. Why? The emphasis upon who's doing it and what he's bringing. The message of grace. Now listen, it can't be disgrace. So grace is unmerited favor. So if he says grace, grace, may I quote Brother Branham, and maybe it'll click to your point. Brother Branham said, he will not send a headstone. Now if it's a paraphrase, I mean if I miss it just to her, I'll try to find it for you. But he said, he will not send the headstone upon your merits. You say, well, that's grace. Because he's a sinner, he just looks over all of our problems. No, not exactly. He's going to send it, Brother Brown said, because he promised it. So he double confirmed what he's going to do. I promised it, I promised it, I promised it, I promised it. I'm going to keep my word. There will be a headstone come. I believe it's done come by the prophet's message. And it's grace, grace. May I quote some things, Brother Randall? He said, my whole makeup is grace. You remember that one? He said, my whole makeup is grace. Not disgrace, grace. Grace is what? Unmerited favor. So he's not going to send it because you and I get all lined up. Here's what I've always thought to people of the message. I've always thought this. Now, this is me. That the people think if we could just get everybody in this building to get lined up, you know, and we get everything perfectly lined up, God's going to come. Well, if that's true, I'll be the first to run through, but I'll give my belt. We're going to start whooping each other. If that's going to bring the coming of the Lord, why can't we get it done? But when he double says anything, when he said, verily, verily, he means listen to what I'm saying. When he says, grace, grace, he's not going to send you two graces. He's telling you to listen to the message of grace and believe what God is saying. Is that all right?
Yeah. And then I also have another question and then a comment. But I know this seems really insignificant, maybe a silly question to ask, but I believe God hides in simplicity, and
right.
And we can miss seeing him if
no question, no question is simple.
So there was I think it was maybe a Sunday or two Sundays ago, you had asked Brother Wade, I think, and Brother Bob to minister maybe that afternoon, and neither one of them was able.
Mm-hmm.
You said there was something about that the Lord was directing you. Can you talk about that a little bit more? What exactly were you talking about?
Well, I didn't see it until it was over. But I knew that nobody else wasn't going to be preaching because I was going to preach that night. Or that evening or whatever it was, morning or what. Last Wednesday. See, I knew that it wouldn't make no difference. Because he done told me what to do. I don't tell everything because you're just going to get built on signs and wonders. But I've told you over and over that I knew somebody was going to be at church today. Now, I'm not a prophet to be able to know who's coming in the door. But I generally know when company's coming. Because you know why? Because, see, I'm driving in a message. And I'm driving, and I'm driving, I'm driving. And a brother warned me one day. He said, Sam, he said, remember, the people that are listening to you have not studied the message like you. And he said, bear with them. I asked Brother Moat one day, I said, Brother Moat, how come it is that when I try to bring a message to the people, because back then he's preached one service and I'd preach one. And, but I said, they're not getting it. He said, Sam, remember, you spent 2 weeks studying on that message and you expect people to accept it just right off? No. Show it and slow down. Slow down. Well, that's, I know when company's coming, that means I got to change a route. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm saying it, and God hold me to where I got the Bible out here. I ain't talking about no preacher. There's a lot of them I could talk about. But I'm telling it plain to be one thing. You watch me when company comes in. I'll be going this way hard, hard. Company walks in, I'll go over here. And I float backwards and forth. And I drop back into a simple form. And I try to bring it something to where they can do. But most preachers, they just go right straight down the line. It don't matter what. I believe that's the gift of God. You can believe what you want to. It's all right. It doesn't make anything out of me. Remember, gifts and callings are without repentance. It don't make no difference. Is that okay?
Yeah. And then the comment I was going to make was,
go ahead.
Last Wednesday you talked about how that the revelation of the seven seals is the headstone for the bride. And, you know, I'd always known that this understanding the seals was important, but I always put it off to another day, saying I'll understand it someday. I'd read the seal book and listened to the seals multiple times, but I just didn't seem to understand it. But I realize now more than ever that that's crucial and vital to understand for the bride. And me and Gabby are studying it and praying and just waiting for the Lord to reveal it. But the main thing is I'm not waiting for something to happen. I'm trying to study and put the seed Amen. Down so that God can quicken it. And I realize now, and I appreciate you preaching it, that how important that is to understand. Yeah. That's all.
I always thought that there was a present tense about the Word of God. You know, a personal point of being. Martin Luther could not preach the great depths and the different things. He wasn't called for it. He was called to preach the just shall live by faith. That was the greatest thing. It turned the world upside down, created a revival. But yet when we look back at it, it's small. But you know what? It's still just significant. And for you to say that now I see I need to know the seals. I thought that was what we were supposed to do. May I quote it this way and leave it with you. If the headstone is the seals. Now, if that's true. Amen. Then why would you not be concerned with hearing what's in those seals? Why would you not be concerned with that? Well, I need to be over here because that's just too deep for me. I admit to one thing. When Brother Moat introduced a message to me, he began to tell me about this seal book. This seal book is great. God had done these great things. He gave me the Church Age book and a couple other books, and I read them real fast. You know why? Because I wanted that seal book. And he wasn't going to give it to me until I told him I was through reading his other books. He done told me he wasn't. Okay. So I just read all I could read, just kept reading, until I got through it. I said, hey, I'm ready now. He said, okay, here's the book. I admit I saw a lot of things that I had never seen. Anybody would that would read it with sense. But you know what I done? I realized then I wasn't getting it. You know what I done? You know what I done? I went back to the Church Age book. I went through the Church Age book again. slower. Because you can say what you want to. They can say, Leavell done this, what it is, the church age books. You can argue all you want to, the printing of it. I challenge the world and I put it out there. Show me any error in the church age book. Oh, I've got these little cards. You haven't read this. I've read every one of them. But you see, I went back to the church age book. And when I finished the church age book, I was capable of understanding more of what was taught in the seals. So maybe it might take a little bit of these other things, but eventually we should reach the place of wanting to understand. Right. Okay.
Brother Dale, I just wanted to, just for the benefit of individuals that might be tuning in at a later point, because I was having a conversation with someone this week or, on the phone, and you run into people like this all the time. They love the Lord.
Sure.
And they want to serve the Lord. They serve the Lord.
Right.
But they just have, they have a sense of like, how do I know that I know that I have the Holy Spirit in my life? And they just keep, and you try to explain it to them in the simplest way as possible, because I mean, I know how the Lord has revealed to me that honestly, you know, we're being born again.
Yeah, right.
It's a constant thing. It's not that something that just happens right there at one moment and then that's it. No, you have to constantly keep growing and feeding that Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit is only going to continue asking for the Word, and if you don't feed it the Word, then you're not going to be able to grow in the image of Christ.
Right.
And so I just wanted, if you can, in your way of explaining it, for the benefit of somebody that might be, more than likely will probably be listening to this, I'm going to recommend that they listen to, what is a good way for a person to know that they have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I believe in signs and wonders. I believe if God comes into a person's life, there's going to be things take place. If there's a birth of a baby and the baby's dead, it's a dead baby. It's still not born. It won't work. But then I just don't believe in putting the signs and wonders above that. And to say, how do you know? I saw things. I saw God when I was 11 years old. I saw things when I come into the Baptist realms. That God would open scriptures to me. But he opened one day the scripture there to me in Malachi 4. I went and told my wife, I said, before the end of the world comes, there's going to be two prophets come. I couldn't get that straight, naturally, because I had no foundation, but it became truth to find out what it was. All right. But my point is one thing. For 2 years after I came in this message, I would never say I have the new birth. For 2 years. You've heard me tell it. It's no joke, no lies. Not every day, but I've read 6 books and listened to 2 tapes in one day. One to work and one back, and Brother Colley can verify. I sat up with him there where he worked at, sometimes 8 hours out of what was working, because my boss, he couldn't run the place. So he had to just call me and let me come and straighten out what we was doing. He didn't know what we was doing. And God put me there, see, to where I could just sit up there and Brother Colley to answer the phone. He said, hey, they need you at Q14. Well, I just go, you know. My point, I would never say I had the new birth because I wondered and considered it. A Baptist deacon at 23 years of age. When I left the Baptist church, I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, which was the deacons and elders and their wives and things of Sunday school. I was running every job I could find, doing everything I could do, crying and praying and seeking for God. That's why I'll even come to this message. I was doing those things. But yet, you say, what is the new birth? It's hard to express to people that don't live inside of you what you're thinking about. There was a man came to Brother Branham one time. And I missed probably, I'll paraphrase it, but a man came to Brother Branham talking about the new birth. He said, I've been here, I've been there. Dr. Reedhead, whatever. I've been to these ones and they told me this. He said, I cried, I shouted, I spoke in tongues, I done this. He went through all of that. You remember the story was that he picked up a track or something like that. And it says, it seemed like that was the one, but if it's not, there is, oh, put it together and find it. He said, where will you spend eternity? Something was asked a question, you know. And it was always concerned with the man was. And he'd always went to everyone and he come to Brother Branham. And he said, Brother Branham, I want to know. He said, the day you picked up that track, he said, in your heart, you made a change. He said, there's where it started. There's where your birth started. It was right there picking up a track. He said, yeah, but it looked like the man would have known he had the Holy Ghost. May I quote this one? He said, can I have the Holy Ghost and doubt I got the Holy Ghost? Billy Paul's wife, Lois, I believe is her name, isn't it? She received the Holy Ghost one night. The next night, Brother Branham said she was doubting it. Don't ever worry about all that devil and his hoopla's and what he's doing. Just keep right on going. Because somewhere he's going to cross your path. And he's going to let you know. You say, well, the evidence, I come into the message, so that means I'm born again. How about all of the millions who've heard the message and what have they done with it? But out of that, you could be the one that it could be true. Here's my statement I've always made. I had rather go through life seeking after God. All of my life and seeking Him. I do every day. And come down to the end of the road and He said, you had it all the time. Than to go all of my life in such a build up stage of so much of my own self that I know what I am and what this and what that is and all. And never seek after God and get at the end of the road and Him say, depart from me. You said that can't happen. Well, according to the Lord Jesus, it's evidently preachers. It's going to come up and say, I done this, I done that, I done this. Cast out devils in thy name, all them things. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. Amen. I'd rather have a desire in my heart to know about God. And to all of my life wonder if I was truly born again. Than to have all that the world places upon what they think of salvation. Because at least I'm desiring that. I'm crying out for it. If you'd ask Brother Branham, said Brother Branham, well, I'll ask you. What was Brother Branham's experience? You're going to have to take my word for it, but you'll know it's true. He explains in the woodshed. He explains in other places. He's running down the railroad track. He explains a lot of things as his new birth. And if you take one of them, you say, well, this is the one. What if it ain't? What if it was this other one? I never got to meet the man. Some sitting here saw him, and even some talked to him or whatever. But I believe Brother Branham was one man that never put any kind of signs or anything. He put it upon God and believe in him. And God speaking to him. See, we look at him and we say, well, let's do it in scriptural. We look at the apostle Paul. Paul said, if it was possible, said I would be a castaway for my people. Now I'm going to quote Brother Brown, who said Paul meant that. That he would be a castaway for his people. See, we look at him as Paul and say, there's no way he could be that. We look at Brother Branham and we say, there's no way that he could ever have doubts or confusion. You're missing the man. Those were the honest things that brought me to God, was to hear a man tell about it. When he would say it like this, he'd say, do you think them Israelites, as proud as they are, would talk about Abraham lying and give his wife away? He said, if it wasn't the truth. What do you put all of your things upon? What do you put to your evidence as the Holy Ghost? Now I'm going to say it hard, all right? You say, it's to believe this message. We were up at Gainesville one time in a service, and a brother got up and sung a song. And I think he was honest. I won't call his name. He's a good brother. He said it like this. We were singing, one of them, and he just stopped everything. He said, which one of them? You see, if I believe two-soul doctrine, I'd make the evidence of you believing in the two-soul doctrine. And that's the word. That's what I'd write. If I believed in all these other doctrines, you know, parousias and parousia, and all of the things, I would say, you got to believe what I teach, and it's the word. Now I'm going to make a statement that a lot of people don't understand. Brother Dale, how do you check a doctrine to see where it's true or not? You're sitting right here. Half of you know exactly the statement that I've made. For 40 years I've made that statement. I check it by my new birth. Well, how do you check a doctrine by your new birth? Because if it don't bring the one God to me, you understand that scripture? And take you to another God. If it don't bring and enhance the one God that's revealed to me, something inside of me is going to say, uh-uh. That ain't right. If I've got the new birth. Now, if I don't have it, it can say anything. Right. But to me, that's the greatest thing that I could say, brother, is I believe this message come from Almighty God. I don't believe the man was God. I don't believe nothing about none of those things. I believe it's the truth from the Word of God. And every day that I read him and what he says, and I admit to you to this day, when I was young, I had a great understanding of this Bible because that's all I studied. But now I spend more of my time studying Brother Branham as far as the time-wise of studying, you know, reading, listening to tapes and things. Because, see, I believe that he was the prophet of God. Or else we got to find another one. Well, that's truthful. And I believe it. And I put all of my emphasis upon one thing. And may I quote a brother sitting up here, maybe I won't not call his name, but he probably wouldn't care. But if they had proved that Brother Branham was married 40 times, okay. He raised his hand, so he's the one that said it. It wouldn't matter what they could say. I can prove all of these things as being this, that, or the other. What the man taught has brought me to God. I know that ain't going to happen, see. It's all going to be lies and different things. But still, I'm just saying, it don't make no difference to me. Well, you're just a plain dumb idiot. I agree with you, but I'm happy. This message brought me to Christ. Now, can I say it this way without you misunderstanding? You know that the denominations was carriers to bring you to Christ? Do you know that what the truth that you were in the churches before you come to the message, the truth that brought you to Christ? A lot of you claimed a new birth before you come in the message. Why can't you say that that was the truth? And glory in that part of the truth. I believe Luther's message of the just shall live by faith. But I don't believe the things he taught of the Trinities and the baptisms and the different things. I believe the truth he brought. Thank God for what he brought to me. Has this message brought Christ to you? Or has it brought a book of rules or a quotes? Or I can outquote you. Bless God, I'll tackle anybody in the world because I can do it. No. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As good as I can say, brother.
Brother, just real quick comment. It's interesting that you brought that up in regards to what this message has brought to you, because this individual that I was speaking to, that same thing came up. And then I told him, I said, listen, even before any of these things that they're saying about Brother Branham, about the bridge, about the cloud and all these things, when I first came into the message, I know one thing for sure. This message brought me closer to Christ. Exactly. Even before I knew anything about whatever supposed mistakes are out there that Brother Bram said this about the bridge and all those things. I knew this message brought me closer to Christ. It enhanced the God that I already knew back in the Baptist church, you know? So it's interesting that you bring that up. I appreciate you giving your comments on that, Brother Dale.
Have you ever been sincere enough to have went back where you come from and thank them for telling you the truth? I mean, truth they told you now. Would you be willing to go back and say to some old preacher that was down the line and say, you remember when he preached that message that God spoke to my heart? Thank you for that. No, bless God, we're above all that. And you ain't got the Christ Brother Branham had. He could brag on them all. And you tell me he was doing it just because he was trying to be nice. I don't think so. Who's next? Sister Gail. All right. Okay, go ahead. Comments. I love them.
I say sometimes I'm the dumbest one in the church, but my husband thinks I'm smarter than most. I'm glad of that. He told me that the other night. How many times I have looked at that statue of a perfect man, and you say, I tell myself, you know, something great's happened to me tonight, really, and that's why I'm telling this. When the bride gets herself ready, it's like something out here. And all of a sudden I'm looking at that tonight, and the Lord just spoke to me and he said, that's you up there. Right. You're standing right up there where that love is. But it was made real to me.
Amen.
It's Jesus. That's Jesus. I know that love up there is just, that's Jesus. What makes up Jesus? The whole bride over exactly. The whole world. And you keep preaching when the bride gets herself ready. Well, we're sitting here. Oh, it's out yonder. You know, might be 100 years from now. Mm-hmm. But that's me standing up there.
Exactly.
I mean, tonight is the first time that I've ever really felt or saw that. That it's not this and this. It's me standing right. And I saw me up there, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
That might be simple to a lot of people, but it meant something to me. Amen. So the Lord, you helped me have a revelation tonight.
Right.
Don't be down and out because there are some people that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. Who's next? Anybody? Comments, questions, thoughts? Brother Branham made a statement one day, and what did he say? Now, he said we, so you can say he was talking about everybody else. But when he says we to me, I put him in there. See, you erase him and take him out of it. He said, I believe that we haven't got the people to Christ. He said, we've got them to a doctrine. Is that all this message is a doctrine? Can you say anything without having to quote Brother Branham? And I'm the guy that quotes him, right? You that are long enough been in the message, you know sometimes that when I'm preaching, 80% of that is a direct quote. If you'll just listen to Brother Branham, because that's where it's coming from. See? Talking to somebody. Just wait and say, well, what would Brother Branham say if he was here? Well, that's good. But then say, what would the Lord Jesus say? You don't never think like that. What would the Lord Jesus say to a person? Bless God, you better get straightened up because you're going to die and go to hell if you don't believe this message. I've told you over and over. I saw there was going to be two prophets. I couldn't get that straight. But when Brother Moat brought it down and he said, I've seen the dead raised and the sick healed. I said, praise God. I believe you. I didn't see it. I said, you tell me what the man taught. And I'll tell you whether he was a prophet or not. Because I knew then the prophets was the only way the word would come to mankind. You might ought to listen to Brother Branham sometime. Okay. Somebody get ready. We're getting ready to go. He said, you better leave them Baptists alone with that word. Now, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but it's very close. He said, they'll tire you to pieces. Now, may I quote him some more? He said, the Pentecostals tooted it out the whistle and didn't know who they were. He said, the Baptists and the Methodists knew who they were, but didn't know how to do anything with it. Yeah. But you see, people don't understand. Like I said, when Brother Moat told me that one day, he said, what do you believe? He knew what I believed. He was just trapping me into saying it. He said, what do you believe? I said, we Baptists, we believe in one true and living God. You ain't never been to a Baptist church if you don't know what they're saying. They'll say, like I said, that man said the other day off of the quote, he said, Branham said one God. He said, I believe in one God. But then he turned around and made it that Jesus was just a third of the Godhead. He said, Baptists will tell you in a hurry they believe in one God. Don't make no heathen out of me. I believe in one God. But when Brother Moat said, would you mind explaining that? I said, yeah. He was God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. That's all I knew. He said, you just as much a Trinitarian as any of the rest of them. I said, explain yourself. He said, because if you believe in a person, a personality, personality is an individual, individual is a person. And he said, if you got three persons, you got three gods. I looked at him and this is what I said. I said, I don't believe that no more. See, most people don't realize. That's what hurts me in this message. And I'll illustrate it the best I can. As a third grade education preacher trying to tell you what Brother Branham taught. When he ain't even been to the high school yet. I'm talking about in the message. I ain't talking about how much he's gotten sense-wise. Because you can't correct a third grade education preacher. He's going to tell you over and over the same thing. He's going to stay there for 6 months on that same quote. He ain't going to never say, you've got me nailed to the wall. I have nowhere to go. Bless God, I ain't going to admit this, that, and the other. If I deny the Father, I deny the Son. You ain't never talked to a good Baptist? You ain't never heard the preacher preach that? Got to be a Trinity, because if you deny the Father, you deny the Son. Anybody else? Somebody before we go. 5 minutes till now. Brother Al. And then Sister Trudy.
Brother Sam, there's something going on here amongst us. After Sister Gail said what she said, I talked to you the other day. You were preaching on the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I had a new revelation of what Revelation 10:7 said.
Yeah.
It says when the angel sounds, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished.
Exactly.
But that mystery cannot be finished until we as the bride of Christ find our place. Amen. And become a Son of Man in the Son of Man. And I can honestly say that I believe that God is moving me into that. He has shown me things that I've never seen before. And Amen. It just continues to come. And I just want it known that my desire is to serve him, that I appreciate you and all that you've done, because you put up with a lot off of me for a lot of years. But it's paid off. God has done a work, and I believe it.
Hallelujah.
And I thank him.
Yeah. Amen. Sister Trudy. A lot of people don't know old Brother Al. When I first met Brother Al, I was told, leave him alone. You don't understand. He'll hurt you. I'd walk up to him, and I'd just be talking. And I'd just walk up, and I'd just say, you doing all right today, Brother Al? How's everything going? This messing his hair up. This was a favorite thing. How you doing, Brother Al? I'm doing pretty good. Go get him some coffee. He drank his coffee black. When he got it from us, he got triple sugar and triple cream. Because he said, people didn't see the old man I saw. I saw a man that would give his life for me. I didn't have no problem. Go ahead, see.
Is the headstone here in its fullness in the ministry? I see the word opened here to bring a body change. Now, the message is the headstone, but that came to Brother Branham alone back then when it came to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for change of the bride's body, it's got to be in the ministry worldwide. And I see that here very much, that you're pulling us up, like Gail was saying, up yeah. to that love. And that's what's going to change us.
Exactly. How many around the world of the ministers of God see the real truth? I don't know. I'm honest, I don't know. I am definitely searching. And sometimes you have to kind of put up with things when you're doing that because, you know, you got to find out something. But when I hear a brother like Brother Shetty, the other weekend when he was coming down that line and bringing the word, I say, glory to God.
Right.
Somebody else is catching on too. I believe around the world in the ministry of Jesus Christ is the, I mean, around the world in the bride of Jesus Christ is the ministry of Jesus Christ. But there's different levels, there's different growth parts, there's different doing. All right. That's why I've always believed it, and I got in trouble years ago saying this. Because the people then was teaching that a manifested son could not die and go by the grave. That they'd have to be here for the change. Of course, they were believing they were manifested son, and they were not going to die. And all of them to this day is dead. I ain't throwing that at them. I'm just saying what was taught. All right? I told a man, I said, well, then where are you going to put that? Because surely you're going to believe the Lord Jesus was a manifested son of God. And he had to die and go by the grave and come into resurrection. I said, surely you're going to believe Brother Branham was a manifested son of God. And he died and is in the grave. See, individuals, I mentioned that in the last service, didn't explain it. Individuals come up the same way as the church ages. Individuals come up the same way as the church ages. All right? Individuals could be capped off today in the bride of Jesus Christ somewhere around the world. But you've got to remember there's one thing that's got to take place. That whole body has got to be sealed as a unit. But individuals are sealed as a unit by the headstone to that individual. Then all of it will come together as the bride of Christ around the world. And she'll be kept off. Then is the quotes the prophet gave. God will do in 1 year. There'll come such a baptism of the Holy Ghost from heaven to fill every fiber of our being. See, the bride has got to be kept off as an individual's because she's a bride to find her place. Then the whole church will be kept. You say, yeah, but it ain't but just a little bit of us left. That's the way it is. That's the truth of the hour that we're living. But you see, church, what I've always tried to explain is one thing. For you to know where I'm at won't do you no good.
Right.
Never try to find it that way. You will find it will run you in the ground. Follow the word that you've heard. If the word don't lead you to Jesus Christ, then something's going wrong. Something's going wrong if it's not the word. Don't worry about signs and wonders. God will take care of that. But let's just don't never forget what's going on now. Because see, it's going to be going on maybe another 20, 30 years. I don't care. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Because I'd be dead and gone, I'm sure of that. But let it be known that I've hammered it out for one thing. Individuals come up to the stature of a perfect man to come to their position. Brother Branham come to that position. And then he could tell us how to come to that place. He couldn't tell us how to come to the headstone until the headstone came. But when the headstone came, he took us right back to the word that the Lord Jesus had preached. Individuals come up, but then a church will come to a place. All around the world that she'll be capped off. Then you're going to see her walk off the earth. Then the critics' mouths will be shut. But you think you're going to ever shut the mouths of the world? If you do, you got a horrible thing to be thinking about. Okay.
Another one. Exactly what did Jesus have to do after he resurrected and he wouldn't let Mary touch him? Why did he have to go away and then come right back?
You can call it a transition. You can call it whatever. He wasn't complete. Because that body was in a, you know, like, it wasn't immortal, but it wasn't mortal. That's probably hard to understand, but it's true. And he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. But then the next, just a little short time, he came back and they could touch him.
Right.
There was something going on
right.
that was left for her not to touch him. But I'll say it in a statement and forget it. There was no way she could ever touch him. You say, yeah, no. There was no way she could have ever touched him. He was so much in between the realms until there was no way you could have touched him. I don't care if you'd went like this and done all over the place and you couldn't have never touched him. What was going on? That's between him and God. That's nothing up to me. I just know what happened. Faster dimensions, you want to call it. Because this is what I love of what Brother Branham said. He said, when Jesus went up and he come back, he said he come back so fast, he went through the wall. Einstein proved that in the fourth dimension, you could pass one object through another one so fast, it would never leave a hole. I gloried when I heard Brother Branham say that. He said he just stepped right through the wall. He said he come back so fast. We think he just walked up the wall and went through it. No, he was moving so fast. In another dimension. See, a lot of that was in another dimension. And there would be no way you could touch him. But then when he come back, he could be touched. He said, now feel me. But I love what was left. Nail prints in his hands. Anybody else? Any more? Anybody else before we go? Brother Boyd. Okay.
You were speaking just a minute ago about quotes and quoting the message. But if you take somebody, try to explain Brother Branham and to somebody that doesn't know him or heard him, he actually he's not calling out John 3:16. He's in first person speaking that word. There's so much word in him. Mm-hmm. And he's speaking it just like, if you could take what he says that is literally the word that he spoke first person of and printed it in red in the message, like it is in the Bible, not making him God or nothing,
right.
but just showing that how much God was in him
right.
and that word. And I have a pastor friend right there by the house that one day he was preaching, Second Peter there. And I mean, if you heard what he was saying, you'd almost have to think he heard Brother Branham's message.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if I just know the quotes and I don't know the other side of that pyramid where the church ages are, where all this falls in place, and then I don't understand or believe the right side of it, where the messengers are, then I'm missing that one thing,
right.
and that's the completeness of making the word alive, and that's what separates us, because that's what shows the one God. Where the other people, they can go to that Second Peter, but they still end up with the Trinity.
Right.
So I just appreciate knowing what I can see here, and then understand what my friend, pastor friend,
right.
preaches. And just pray for him because he could lay that out there so well. If he didn't read the message somewhere else, he ought to be searching for it because he's got that heart and that desire.
I heard a man years ago preaching, and he was a Pentecostal guy on the radio, and he preached it right down the line. See, if they ever heard it somewhere, they could pick it up. But still, even their own mind, after it's released, after what was released to this prophet's message, coming into the world. See, then the people can pick that up. But like you're saying, they're not going to get it in the completeness. There is a group of people, Masonic Lodge, that will lay down on the floor and it's seven steps and it's called the Staircase Lecture. And they teach it to those new converts. See, anytime it's open, I don't know. I just know one thing. Somebody said one time that because of Brother Branham being born in April, that the people that would have been born right around his period of time, now not everybody born in April now, don't I? Okay. The people born around his period of time would have been subject to greater things because of what happened to him. That could be. My point is, people on the radio, if they ever hear it a certain time, they can preach it. There's good preachers. I've heard them preach it. I wish my brother would come and preach and weighed in the balances and found wanting. The Methodist preacher that's got a Playboy magazine racks in his own house that his kids buy him Playboy magazines. I'm not joking. But the man can preach. Let him preach. Weighed in the balances and found wanting. There's an anointing that goes with things, and preachers can pick up those things and preach it. Anybody else before we go? Because it's 10 after nine, okay? I mean, we're not pushing it to say go home, but it's 10 after nine. Anybody else? Or just some short one? If not, let's stand in. Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray that you would just bless us, and we thank you for, Lord, we've done the best we could do. That's all I can do. I'm not bragging or complaining. I'm just loving you. I'm just asking you to help us and guide us. Forgive our sins. Take care of us on the way home. And Lord, just give us of your love and your grace. Let all of your understanding come to our hearts and our lives that we may follow after you. And guide each one of us and keep us in Jesus' name. And we never leave. And if anybody's sick, want to be prayed for, come. The minister, brethren. Come on, minister, brethren. We want to pray over these prayer cloths. We're going to send them to this sister. So, you know, the rest of you are dismissed if you want to go. Because we're just going to pray over this. And all I know, we're running late, but that's, you know. Donnie says there's some apples downstairs, and if you want any of them, go get them. If you don't, I will. So, okay. Let's pray over these and just, we'll anoint them with oil and, you know, we'll send them. And let's believe it. Father, we send these prayer cloths to our sister. She's wanting them for her and her family. We know her husband's in jail, Lord, and we'd ask you to help that out and maybe get him a prayer cloth too, that she could send it to him. And Lord, that all things would be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you. Just go with these prayer cloths now. And let your love be there to manifest yourself. And we love you in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Amen. Okay. You're dismissed. Amen. Take the...